Chapter 18. Variety Jones and the Serpent. Ross had been in Australia for only a few weeks when he woke up from a strange dream. In his sleep, he found himself face to face with a giant 100-foot-long centipede with dark eyes and massive twiddling legs. Hovering in the background was a looming snake, larger and more sinister than the centipede, slithering around in the darkness. When he awoke the next morning, Ross didn't know what the dream meant or why he wasn't afraid of these sinister creatures. To him, they didn't seem evil at all. Or maybe they were, and he simply wasn't able to see their true nature. But as he set about his day, he couldn't get those slithering creatures out of his mind, eventually sharing a story on Facebook about the dream. Curious what it might mean. Maybe it was just the daunting reality of the past few months breaking through his subconscious. Back in Texas, the twin pressures of maintaining the Silk Road and keeping his involvement a secret had worn him thin. At particularly fraught moments, he even wondered if he should forfeit his business, just give it up. But ever since he had moved to Sydney to be closer to his sister, life had gotten so much better. His mounting anxiety in Texas was giving way to a laconic calmness down under. Now Ross spent his days surfing at the Golden Beaches, drinking beer with his new pals at tiki bars, successfully flirting with girls, and, in between these social gatherings, working on the Silk Road. But even the pleasures of Bondi Beach, where he was staying, couldn't entirely eradicate the fears that came with running a startup that trafficked in the multinational drug trade. In particular, Ross still could not entirely shake the fact that, other than Erica, whose words he could always deny as hearsay, two real people, Julia and his old friend Richard, definitively knew that he had created the Silk Road. Sure, he had cobbled together a story for Richard, explaining that he had given the site away to someone else. But the Julia problem remained. And no matter what fabrication he could possibly come up with, both would always know he had fathered the site. Ross, though a genius at many things, was clueless when it came to untangling this particular mess. Luckily, someone was about to become a staple in his life who knew exactly how to fix these issues, and many other formidable challenges that impeded the Silk Road's progress. Ross interacted with dozens of different people on the Silk Road each day, including vendors, customers, and a couple of new libertarian part-time employees who helped with the site's various programming problems. They all went by pseudonyms to hide who they really were, names like Same Same But Different, Nomad Bloodbath, and Some Young Guy. Ross's own nickname was simply Silk Road, or Admin. But one of the people Ross had recently started talking to on the site, a man who operated under the nom de plume Variety Jones, seemed almost immediately to be different from everyone else. He sold weed seeds, but he wasn't just any weed seed dealer. Variety Jones was a sommelier, someone capable of telling you a seed's variety, its viticulture, along with the strain, just by looking at a picture of it. And unlike the hordes of impatient and pushy drug dealers on the Silk Road, Variety Jones, or VJ as he was known in the forums, was guileful and intelligent. He, assuming he really was a he, knew everything about everyone, on the site and off, even the creator of the site. Just 2 days after the menacing serpent and centipede dream, Ross and VJ started chatting on TorChat, a messaging platform that promised privacy for those using it. "I want to talk to you about security stuff," Variety Jones wrote in one of their earliest correspondences. "Lots of security stuff." Ross was eager to hear, now fully aware that he was no longer just being targeted by the U.S. government, but was very likely being hunted by authorities in dozens of countries. Given that real money was now flowing into the site too, with Ross pulling in tens of thousands of dollars a week in revenue for the sale of drugs and guns, there would surely be more authorities hunting him soon. The only way to hide from the cops was to build better security into the site. Ross was a gifted coder, sure, with a quixotic vision of the future, but he knew better than anyone that he was out of his depth when it came to fixing the site's vulnerabilities. Yet the more he chatted with Variety Jones, the more Ross realized he was interacting with a very able complement, someone whose strength seemed to be the very area in which Ross was weakest. Perhaps most important, Jones quickly indicated that he could be the perfect lieutenant, a proverbial bad cop to a kinder boss. "There isn't anyone who knows me even a little bit that would ever dream of crossing me," VJ warned Ross. "If they did dream of it, they would wake up and call to apologize." Variety Jones said that he was 45 years old and from Canada, but now lived in England, and it was apparent by his answers to Ross's programming questions that he knew what he was doing. He told Ross that a few months earlier, shortly after the Gawker article had been published, VJ and an associate had found a secret back door into the Silk Road servers. Late one night, like a couple of burglars breaking into someone's home just to look around, VJ had rummaged through the site's files to make sure it wasn't being run by law enforcement. Hearing this obviously scared the shit out of Ross. Who else might have been sniffing around in there? When VJ believed that the mastermind behind the Silk Road was legitimately trying to end the war on drugs and wasn't an undercover DEA agent trying to arrest poor, unsuspecting citizens, Variety Jones wanted to help the cause. After all, if the site grew, VJ could make more money by selling more drugs. And here he was, advice at the ready. But first, VJ wanted to ensure that the creator of the site knew what was at stake here. "Not to be a downer or anything," he wrote to Ross, "but understand that what we are doing falls under U.S. drug kingpin laws, which provides a maximum penalty of death upon conviction. The mandatory minimum is life." Ross knew this better than anyone, but he felt like what he was doing was truly going to change the world and free people. Given that, life in prison or taking his last breath in an electric chair was not enough to deter him. "Balls to the wall and all in, my friend," Ross replied, vociferating how unafraid he was of those consequences. After this was clear, their collaboration moved to the next phase. VJ started to give Ross pep talks. "Just always remember Life magazine," VJ proffered. "So successful, they had to shut it down." According to VJ, the cost to print the luscious post-war photo magazine exceeded the newsstand price. So the more people who purchased Life, the less money it made. Until one day it had grown so much that it went bankrupt with success. This, he warned, could happen to the Silk Road if its founder wasn't careful about the server costs and hiring the right employees as it grew. Ross was rapt as he read the words on his screen. Until this moment, he had felt so alone running the site, with no one to talk to about the questions rattling around in his head. Now here was a man who seemed to have answers to questions Ross had never uttered aloud to anyone. "Tell me more," he replied to VJ. Before long, he started seeking out all kinds of advice from VJ. Ross would write questions for his new friend while he sat in his apartment in Sydney, or in a nearby coffee shop, slurping up everything Variety Jones had to offer. They went from speaking every few days to every few hours to, eventually, every few minutes. Each tête-à-tête was an instructive lesson for Ross. Whether he was learning how to set up a Bitcoin config file on the server, managing warring factions of dealers on the site, or understanding how he was perceived by the proletariat who used the Silk Road. At its core, though, the relationship was personal. Vijay's greatest value was as an executive coach of sorts. Someone who could mentor the young founder through problems germane to any startup, like Bill Campbell, who had helped the creators of Twitter and Google, or Mark Andreessen, who offered advice to Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook. "What are my strengths?" Ross asked Vijay one afternoon, hoping that his new confidant could hold up a mirror for Ross to see himself, a view that Ross, in his secret solitude, was incapable of discerning on his own. "You play your cards close," Vijay replied. "You really do get that it's gone from fun and games to a very serious life-or-death lifestyle you've created." He then listed a handful of attributes of the leader of the Silk Road, including that he was obviously well-educated, and that many on the site saw him as the Steve Jobs of the online drug world. "Awesome," Ross replied. Then he followed with a more vulnerable question. "What are my weaknesses?" Variety Jones didn't skip a beat. "Your inability to discern between a garter snake and a copperhead," he wrote, "and the gaping holes in your knowledge of security." "Wait," Ross interrupted. "What's the snake metaphor?" "Recognizing something as dangerous when you think it's harmless." It was a pointed comment, one that left Ross searching for more answers. In that pregnant moment, as Ross heard the waves on Bondi Beach and felt the soft air of Australia, a pressing question was left unspoken. Could Variety Jones, this unlimited dispenser of wisdom, this ostensible genius in the realm of cybersecurity, be offering Ross a hint that maybe this new friend wasn't here just to help, but had a larger plan in the works? If Vijay was trying to offer a warning, Ross was too caught up in the conversation to see it, and he didn't stop to question which of these two snakes Variety Jones might be, the harmless garter or a 100-foot venomous demon. "Tell me more," Ross wrote instead. "Tell me more."